good evening and a cordial thanks for the invitation. On Thursday, Flora Lucen reminded us of the fact that back in the day, during the radio shows, people were able to look at pictures that were published for that occasion. And today I also brought along some pictures. Now what I have here is a deck of tarot cards. And as 20 minutes are not really time enough for a really tarot reading, and the room is just too large, and the laying of tarot cards is actually a process akin to a dialogue, I will not do that, but have rather pre-sorted the cards. That's trump card 21, the voice. Normally, it would be the world. And you can hear my voice and you can see my hands. The female director of apparatuses. Now, what do the voice and the hands have in common? Now, what are these two media, these tools that they have in common? Well, in the film Metropolis, Professor Rotwang, in an experiment, replaces his right hand with a prosthetic hand. So he sacrifices his hand in exchange for the completion of his life's work, and that's the construction of an artificial woman. Now, what's the difference between sacrificing a real hand? What's the difference to, for example, sacrificing your voice, as you can find it in fairy tales sometimes, as, for example, in the fairy tale of the Little Mermaid? And which of these sacrifices would make more sense for you? I would now like you to vote, because here in this position, I can't really tell what's going on in the audience, and I thought it might be helpful to perhaps get to know the mood here in the hall, if we all together decide for a kind of a musical basic mood. I wanted to bring along binaural beats, so-called audio drugs, but for technical reasons it was unfortunately not possible. So instead, I would like to offer you a list of abstract principles that are inspired by the traditional numerology of tarot cards. And I would now like to ask you to please decide for one of these. That was the card for the audio drugs. One, unrefined beginning. Two, ambiguous data. Three, creative explosion. Four, is a temporary balance. Five, risky experiment. Six, joyful spending. Seven, public appearance. Eight, perfect order. Nine, existential crisis. And 10, soothing emptiness. Now, I would like to ask you to please select one of these 10 different modes, and you can do this by just raising your hand. We will have a vote by a show of hands, and this is a bit about finding out what kind of mood you would like to see increased right now, so that we can then end up with a common mood through this voting. Now let me go through this once again. And I've got an assistant in the audience, Benny, who will now help me get an overview because I can't really see anything concerning the audience from here. So just to get a rough overview as to which one of these modes is favored by the audience. So let me just go through and you can then raise your hand when you'd like to see more of this principle right now. Unrefined beginning. Ambiguous data. Creative explosion. Temporary balance. Risky experiment. Joyful spending. Public appearance. Perfect order. Existential crisis. Soothing emptiness. So, number 9, the existential crisis. No, really? Yes. Now, I really wouldn't have anticipated that. The 9. Now, perhaps this was an ironic take on the mood, but perhaps it just makes sense. So, of course, I don't want to manipulate anyone or even hypnotize them, although, of course, a lubrication of the dry situation through the use of music already represents a manipulation, just like talking in itself. The Tarot card, the worker of the nerves, shows a kind of manipulation in the negative sense. And just as he was touched in his nerves, he touches others, and he will take care of others, or he cares for them, and he cares for all kinds of things, just not for himself, and he is unknown to himself. It's difficult for him to actually set himself apart from the feelings, expectations, and impulses of others. He is the manipulated one. The deck of cards, and you may have asked yourselves already what kind of cards these are. The deck of cards that I brought along is titled Industry and Happiness, and I developed this as a replacement script for an audio play in order to avoid that the performers would be reciting texts during the recording. But it's also a kind of personal cosmology that I think probably has quite a bit to do with myself. The deck was adapted based on the Tarot deck de Marseille in the 15th century. It was standardized and printed briefly after the introduction of the book printing technologies. And until today, most people who are into Tarot use these Tarot cards based on the feudal Christian world and with this kind of symbolism. Now, this deck of cards was developed in the confusing times of the present, and it looks back on postmodernist and pre-Christian images that have become a mythology unto themselves. In terms of the subject matter, it is linked to the Weimar Republic. This image here, for example, for the revolutionary of papers is from the Fritz Lang movie Dr. Mabuse that you may be familiar with, just as some of the other motives of this deck of cards as well. For example, this one. It shows us the showdown of Dr. Mabuse's drama of deception. Towards the end of part one, he's throwing all kinds of bonds and stocks up into the air after having been discovered while cheating at cards and lost his mind. For the new ones, this is the nine of nerves. The nine generally is a card of crisis, and the crisis of paper and bonds and stocks, all values dissipate and memory becomes madness, and from the future and the past, a hyperactive present arises. Everything is loosely connected and nothing is fixed. This is the Nine of Papers. And in normal tarot, these papers are replaced by coins, and they symbolize property and fruits of labor, talents, and earthly values. But here, in this case, they also stand for material values, but not as a remuneration for work done, but rather for documents and identity papers that are at stake and that you can only win but never can work for and deserve them. And they stand for unstable paper, for political oaths and treaties and constitutions, and the value of these papers are linked to political and economic developments and can be pushed or devalued or destroyed at any point in time. Now, is it actually easier for you to listen to me without seeing my face, or is it more difficult? Well, for me, in any case, it's easier to speak while my face is not visible. If I, and when I, don't have to show my naked face, I am less assailable and I'm less vulnerable. And those who would see might not at the same time have a feeling of ethical responsibility. I cannot punish anyone with my gaze, and I cannot encounter anyone with my gaze. The revolutionary of nerves looks the pursuers in the eye, and her eyes say, no matter what you are planning to do with me, I am countering your attack with my naked face, and her vulnerability has been turned into her strongest weapon. The radio is a medium without faces. The radio face is without color, without expression. It's empty and devoid of identity. But I just recently read about a study that was published at the Yale Institute of Management that says that people are better at reading emotional messages from voices than from faces, which is only surprising because the research of emotions for decades was focused on the mimic, facial mimics alone, and the disembodied voice doesn't only do better than the mimics itself, but they're also better than multisensory communication. That is voice, mimics, touch, and gestures in combination, because people send out contradictory signals and we are trained in using our mimics in order to mask our real feelings. And a neutral mask, if you will, at least when using my voice, would actually make it easier for someone else to show empathy and to understand what I'm saying. In order to have a good emotional influence, it could be helpful to make your own face disappear, just like the psychoanalyst or the populist radio voice, the hypnotizer, or the meditation guide. But the question also is, why do I want to influence, and what do I want to influence? And if the worker of the movement starts expressing himself, everything is clear. The hand beats the word, and correctly executed, one punch says more than 1,000 words, and misunderstandings can just be moved out of the way. The force does not guide you, it pushes you, it pushes you over, it gives you an impulse. And under the influence of the force or the power, everything is allowed, everything is possible, and nothing can stop you except for another force or power that's at least as strong as yours. And when attacked, you should flex your muscles and counteract instead of strategically withdrawn. This is a masculinist card. Confrontation at any price, and threatening gestures. So this is traffic, an update of the card on justice. You and me are actually armored, and we pass each other without touching according to a fixed set of rules. I once claimed that a tarot session is always unbalanced, unless, of course, all the cards were being used, then it would be balanced, and everything would be possible, and everything would be whole. But, of course, such a balance of principles cannot be had in any tarot session, because the balance is just a temporary kind of state. It's an exercise by the wayside. The ace is something whole. It stands for wholeness as an extreme of potential, an extreme in its unrealized form. This here is the sign of rhythm, as it has since the beginning of this year been part of the facade of the Festspielhaus in Hemmerau in Dresden. It is a strange adaptation of the yin and yang sign. They just left out the dots, and that of course means that it is a severe misunderstanding of the whole principle. The original describes a movement where the old yang is growing inside the old yang, and where both of these principles already contain the principle of the opposing principle, and where one always unfolds with the other and the other way around. Without these dots, there is no metamorphosis, and the world would just be turning on its axis and turning like an AC motor. Are you still there? I wouldn't have expected an answer. The nine of movements. There is hardly anything that I can be really sure of, but there are so many parts of the body and parts of the jigsaw puzzle that I have to try and connect. To doubt your own perception, that's always an option. Everything can be looked at from different sides and angles, and the space of what can be heard is never clear, and neither is the space of what's visible. The indecisiveness and the ambiguity, that is the known problem up here. the council of movements. I now personally have learned most of the things that I've learned over these past years in spaces where verbal communication didn't really play that much of a role. The voice and the hands are the physical tools of symbolic expression, but hands and voice never act in isolation from the rest of the body. They are part of a body that actually enters into contact with other bodies non-verbally and can even synchronize with them. And that is the subconscious below the situation. The worker of the apparatus, also known by the other name, the Jack of Swords, to connect is her task. She does it with the voice and her hands, just like the interface of a technical system of communication. The system is using her body until she then starts using the apparatus for her own personal ends. The card doesn't ask whether you want to simply be the instrument of a techno-economical form of progress that you lend your hands or voices to, or would you rather enter into contact yourself and create connections yourself? And what would that mean? This card stands for objectives that you define for the future. Now, in the past, there is a kind of cycle between the perceptual world and the world of effects. The internal world and the object are in a reciprocal relationship. Every living being has its own environment that consists of what you can perceive. That's the perceptual world, and what you can influence, and that is the world of effects. In Eastern Berlin in the 1980s, there were the so-called Umweltblätter, the environmental leaflets. It was a political samizdat of the GDR opposition. And in that context, people said time again that the rivers, the soil, the woods, the human body, the food, the state, the police, the border, the language, all of this is part of the environment. And environmental awareness starts by seeing yourself as connected to the world and to seeing, and by seeing the world as connected to yourself. Thank you very much.